We're going to look at one verse, well, actually two, but it's going to be embedded in the message. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start from verse 10. And as we get started, I just wanted to start off with this question. What is one thing that you like about Hong Kong? Okay, so why don't you just give that maybe a several second to think about. Maybe for some of us, it's better to ask, what is it one thing that you hate about Hong Kong? That might be a little bit easier for some of us to come up with something. Some of us might say, one thing I don't like about Hong Kong is the fast-paced life. Some of us might say it's a crowded MTR, maybe the long working hours, small spaces. Recently, my wife and I, we were on the bus together and kind of going to a place. And, you know, for me, I really enjoy the public transportation. Not that I don't like driving, I miss driving a lot, but I just really enjoy the public transportation. And we're just talking together, and as we're talking together, she said, I feel like I'm going backwards. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because she said that because she grew up in the city of Chicago in the United States, she had to rely a lot on the public transportation when she was younger and growing up. And in the United States, you have this mentality that says that once you kind of grow up in the city, and then you know, as you make a lot of money, you move out to the suburbs where there's more land, and then that's when you need a car. And so it's kind of like you're moving up in the social economic background or the ladder where you first maybe start off in the city and you slowly start building income or your salary, and then you eventually move out to the suburbs, and then you own a car, and public transportation is something that is far removed from you. My wife and I are exactly the opposite. I grew up in the suburbs, in the city for about 3 years, and then we moved over to the suburbs, and I've always driven a car. So for me, public transportation is like a little kid during Christmas. So every single time I'm on this bus, even though sometimes it takes a long time to get to the place, I'm constantly fascinated because I get to look at the city as I'm on the bus or even in the public transportation once I get out of the exit. So we're talking about this, and we said, what is it about this public transportation and being in the city and the density of it, the proximity of buildings and people? And as some of you who have been in the traffic hours of Hong Kong, you realize how busy it is, people pressed against you, and you have to sit there or stand there and ask yourself, what is it about Hong Kong that I love so very much? And some of you are still thinking this. What is it about Hong Kong that I like, that I'm here, and I feel like God is calling me to be here? I don't know about you, but all I can say is, when I think about Hong Kong, for me, this is what I call the mission field that God has called my family and I, and also some of the people who came here as we started this church. And because Hong Kong is such a global city, that it causes us to kind of pause and to ask ourselves, what is the role of this city, and what is the role of our church in this city that God wants us to play? And so what I want us to do is, just at this time, I'm going to show you a video that kind of explains the importance of cities and how over the last couple centuries it has drastically changed. And the cities now are now the mission centers or the urban centers in which God wants us to make a difference for his namesake. So let's watch this video together and then we'll come back. I hope you were able to get some of the important things about cities and why God cares about them. And, you know, as we just watched this video, as I was kind of thinking about God's heart for the global cities around the world, every single one of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to engage the city that you are in. I'm very aware that some of you are only going to be here for a little time, whether it's school, maybe some of you are in transition from work, but wherever we are, it's vital that we understand that God is moving in the cities, and we need to be able to understand his heart and what he's doing. So if you remember, we've talked about the last 2 weeks on this whole missions month and the theme of send me. And if you would just kind of repeat or at least say it out loud. That would be helpful. Part one was what sent me with
prayer.
With prayer. We talked about how we cannot do anything to related to his mission without this heart of prayer. Everything stems off prayer. And as those of you who are serious about engaging in his mission and with God and what he's doing around the world, we have to develop a prayer life and begin to pray for the nations and pray for the world, pray for our neighbors, pray for our family members. So it has to start with prayer. The second part was what? Send me to my mission field, and that is your schools or your workplace or your families, and that is the place that God has called you specifically. No one else can go there for you. I cannot go there in that particular school or your classroom, in your dorm room, or even in your workplace, even though I would love to, and bring some order in that place. You know, some of you are like, Pastor, please talk to my coworker. They need a lot of help. Let's all go out to lunch, and that'll be great. And I believe in, I pray and you pay. And so we will have lunch with your coworkers. And we will be able to minister to them. And today I'm going to talk about send me to my city. And next week you don't want to miss it because this is where it's going to all culminate to send me to the nations. And we're going to have a time of response where we're going to be able to tangibly respond to some next steps as we engage the world with God's mission. So today I want us to talk about the importance of really seeing Hong Kong as a city that God wants us to be rooted in and to reach out with the gospel message. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that we must transform our city in order to transform the world. We have to transform our city in order to transform the world. I'm going to talk about two specific things, and this is a little bit more thematic so that you can understand God's kind of progression of why cities are on his heart, in which it must be on our heart as well. The first thing I want to talk about is how we must redeem our city. We must redeem our city for Jesus Christ. So hopefully you've turned to Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to read this one verse here in verse 10 and listen to what the Word of God says here. It says this, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10, if I could find it. Here we go. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Let me just kind of have you just look at that one more time. It says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. You know, as we start off here in this verse, we notice that this whole chapter, as many of you are familiar with, it describes the importance of faith and how faith is a very important part to your spiritual journey. And this big portion of chapter 11, it references to the story of Abraham and about his faith. And that's why it's important as we look at verse 10, it's talking about Abraham and how he was looking forward to a city that has its foundation and the designer and the builder is God. In verse 8 and 9, if you just look a little bit earlier, you are reminded, all of us are reminded, that God was telling Abraham to leave his home. So Abraham immediately obeyed God, even though he didn't know where he was going. And can I just challenge us once again, tying it into what we talked about a month or so ago? This whole aspect of being alive, being a follower of Jesus Christ that's alive. Many of us are spiritually dead. Some of our Christian life, there's no life in it. We just go to church on Sundays and we just do the religious things. And I believe one of the reasons why you're not experiencing the dynamic, this life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ is because you're not living by faith. You're controlling your own life. Many of us, even in this room, you're not willing to take steps of faith because you don't know your future. Because you want to know your future. You want to control your future. It bothers you that you don't know what's going to happen to you in the next month, next year, or even a couple years down the line. And so what we do is our hearts begin to shrink because we control our future. We only do things that we are sure about. We don't take risk. We don't step out in faith, especially when you do the Kairos circle and God is speaking to you and he's challenging you to do something that you might not want to do, or there's a loss, or there will be some kind of cost to you. And a lot of times we don't take that step of faith, and that's why we're not experiencing the fullness of life that God has promised unto us. Here's Abraham, who had no clue what God was doing. He literally uprooted him from his familiar home territory, and he says, go to a land that I'm going to promise unto you. He didn't even tell him where. He just said to go. And in Genesis chapter 12, it says, and the next day he got up and he set out. He just set out, and God was going to lead him, and God was going to guide him. Abraham's faith was fueled by God's promises. And that's why Abraham was willing to go to this foreign land, even live in tents. I just want to just pause here, even though we're not in verse 10 yet. Just I want you to think about this. For some of you, this is not your home. Or if I can say it in a different way, this is not maybe necessarily your chosen home. Because you came here only because of school. You came here only because of work. Because all other doors and all other cities and all other countries might have been closed. Some of us, we willingly came here. Because there's a purpose why we're here. And my challenge to all of us, no matter where you are, is that we have to come to a point. If you're serious about doing God's mission, and you're serious about making a difference for Jesus Christ and to transform the world, somewhere along the line, you have to make that decision that this is where God has planted me and this is where I will obey. Now, once again, it might not be forever. It might not be until the day you die, but however long the season is for you, you have to see it that way. If you only see it as I'm just transient and I'm just passing by, I'm going to tell you right now, those 4 years of your life here is going to literally be wasted. Some of you are going to go to work every single day and you're still trying to always looking for a better job in a better city, in a better country, so you can have more stuff. And literally there are people around you at work that are passing away without knowing Jesus Christ, and you will not care. In fact, you wouldn't even notice. So something has to click in our minds that while he has placed me here, that I'm living by faith, trusting in him, that every single moment, every day, every hour that he gives me life, he gives me breath, that I am going to live being rooted in the city, loving the people in the city for the glory of God. That's the only way. That's how you live by faith. And then in verse 10, as we have read, it says that Abraham was looking forward to a future city that has its foundations made by God. Now, this idea of a future city is mentioned in other verses, even here in the book of Hebrews. Let me give you several of them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, if you just look several verses down, it says this, but as it is, they desire a better country. Talking about those people of faith. They desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them, everyone say it, a city. It's talking about preparing for them this place, this new heaven and new earth. It's this new city. It's something into the future. And that's why in John chapter 14, when Jesus was in the upper room, what did he say to his disciples? He says that once I go, the counselor, the Holy Spirit will come. And he goes, I'm going ahead of you to prepare what? A place for you in this new city. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 in the NIV, listen to what it says. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. And everyone say it. The city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. So it's talking about this future city. It is where the living God dwells. And this is where we're all headed. That's why it's important to understand God's heart for this idea of the city, because it's going to be where we're going to be ending up. All of us, those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are going to be in this new city. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 in the ESV, it says this, "For here we have no lasting," everyone say it, "city, but we seek the city that is to come." So what he's saying is this, though we are living in the flesh right now in this city, it is not a lasting city. It will die. Everything will fade away. But there is a city that we're seeking after that is to come. Listen to what it says in the NLT, the New Living Translation. "For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come." Now, it's important to just kind of dwell on this a little bit, because the writer of Hebrews, as he's referencing to all these people of faith, and especially Abraham, who takes up a big chunk of chapter 11, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is this, that as they dwell here on this earth, in this city, there's a greater city and a future city that Abraham and all these other people, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, that they are looking forward to. And in this new city, it will be a lasting one. It will be a holy one. It will be completely different from what we see here. Now, I'll come back to that thought, but let's go ahead and look at verse 10. And you will see here there are two specific things that we learn about God and this future city. The first one is this, that God is the creator of cities. In the ESV, it says that he is the designer of the city, who has his foundations laid by God, who is the creator or the designer. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, it uses the word architect. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many architects do we have here? Architect majors. I think there's something really satisfying of being an architect. Can you imagine? You're just driving on this road, and then you see this building, and you go, "I made that," or "I designed that." It's a pretty good feeling if you think about it, right? The ones who made it are the construction workers, so they're like, "I made that," you know? But the architect is the one who actually designed it to make it look like that. And so here we see that God is the mastermind and the creator of this future city that is to come. But he is also involved in the creation of all the cities here on this earth. The concept of a city is very important throughout the Bible. In fact, the word city appears 1,250 times in Scripture. About 160 times it appears in the New Testament. And that Greek word is polis. And that's where we get the metropolis or anything with a polis. It means a city. So you see that word 160 times in the New Testament. You will see it 1,090 times in the Old Testament. This reference to a city. That's how important it is when you look throughout Scripture, this concept of the city. We see that the first city was built by Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. And from that point on, we see city after city that Jesus refers to, that God refers to. There was also a city of refuge. It was that place where it was a place of protection and of refuge and comfort for those who killed anybody by accident. It's amazing how even Jesus wept over the city. So cities are where culture is formed and God communicates his heart. And I was just thinking about this, and as I was thinking, well, is it the actual, like, the buildings? And I want you to think about it as a church. In the same way God loves the church, he doesn't love the building, but he loves what? Come on, everyone say it. The people. It's okay, we're just waking up. Well, we'll get it. You didn't have breakfast, okay? Once you have breakfast, your brain starts going. So think about it. We always talk about how Jesus loves the church or his church. And a lot of times when we talk about church, how do we talk about it? We're going to where? Church. Okay. No more questions, okay? Every question I'm going to ask from this moment on is a rhetorical question, so keep your mouth shut, okay? Just listen. When God says that Jesus Christ loves the church, he's not saying, I love that building. He loves what? The people who make up the church. In the same way, when God loves the city, he is not talking about the building. He's talking about the people in the city. Because God is a God who loves people. Can I get a good amen? Does that make sense? The city is where the nations are represented. Because nations come to the cities. Cities are where God loves those who are brokenhearted, hurting, and feeling helpless or hopeless. Because that's where people gather, because they're looking for a better opportunity, a better job, trying to make it in this world. Because as you know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. New York. Okay, anyway. And I was thinking about this and I realized if we can actually reach these global cities, we're going to be able to reach the world. It was reiterated to me, or just it came to my mind again, because this weekend, actually, yesterday, starting at 9 in the morning, my son, Elliot, he was doing this 24-hour race. So it's kind of interesting because literally all the international schools are represented. And so there were many, many international. There were several colleges, but there were more of the Christian international colleges. But all the big-name international schools, the HKIS was there, and our kids' schools was represented. Just all the majors, Canadian. There was a Korean international school. I'm like, why? Why? But anyway, there was a Korean international school. There was a Canadian. There was a Chinese international. I mean, all the international schools were represented. I would say almost 90, if not all of them, were represented in this race. So my son, he was a part of a team of 8 people, I believe around 8 people, but they had about 4 teams. So if you do the math, they have to run about 3.5, almost 4 kilometers and just relay. And 24 hours, you can't stop, you're just running. And so with all the people on his team, he would only rest for about an hour and a half, hour and 20-some minutes, and then he would have to run. So I said, what if you have to go to the bathroom, you know, and just asking some of these questions. But anyway, so they would rotate and make sure that pretty much they're raising money for awareness for human trafficking. So I think it's a great cause. And so all these kids are running, and we had to go all the way to the peak. And as we were trying to find where our son and the school's tent was, as we were walking, I was just amazed. Literally, Saturday in the afternoon, all the nations gathered at the peak. I mean, I kid you not. Not only because of all these international schools that are represented, but just looking, just literally just with your eyes, you can see there are people from all different nations. In fact, some of them were running with flags around their necks to represent whatever country or nation they're from. And you could tell some were from Argentina, some of the Latin American countries. There were others who were from the major countries in the Western world. And as I was looking at this, I said to myself, this is amazing. If I could be anywhere, I told my wife, I go, man, I feel like I'm back in my youth group days when I was a youth pastor, you know, because they were swearing, they were doing all the stuff. You could tell these guys were trying to like hit on these girls. And I'm like, I know you, man. I know what you're doing. You know, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I go, I know exactly what you're doing. And all these girls, ah, and then all that. And anyway, so I was walking. I thought to myself, I go, wow, if I could literally just stand still, kind of like stop time, kind of like the mannequin challenge. Or if I could just literally stop time and everyone just froze it. And I'm looking at just all these different people from all these different nations. It is right there in that place, in that moment that I wanted to be the most. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't love local Hong Kong people or anyone who doesn't go to an international school. But it was in that moment I just felt that all the nations were just gathering at the peak. And I said, this is what we want to see for our church. if we're going to be serious about reaching the city, we have to reach all peoples that are represented or are representing all nations that are coming to Hong Kong. Because God is the one who creates the city. And in these cities, he creates them because he loves people. And people come to the cities, as you've heard. It was only 2% in the 1800s, and then 5%, and it jumped up to 12%. And now, by 2030-something, it's going to jump up to, right now it's currently about 55% of the whole world's population live in cities. And that number will continue. And that's why we have to reach the city. Another thing what we see here, not only is God the designer and the creator of cities, but God is the constructor of cities. He is the builder of the cities. You know, it's important to keep in mind that God is ultimately building this spiritual city where it will have his people from all nations, as we talked about earlier. And in the book of Revelation, we see a picture of God's purpose in the redemption of the city by forming this new city. Let me give you Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. So here's God, as I will tie it in with what I shared earlier, that everything that God is doing is for this new heavenly city that it will be represented with all nations. And so he is literally constructing, he is building cities that will give a picture or a glimpse of what this eternal city will look like. But as you know, due to sin, due to the brokenness of disobedience and rebellion against God, we see that the earthly city will never compare to this heavenly city. That's why we are called to redeem and rebuild the cities that we're living in, so that people can see that there is this eternal, spiritual, and heavenly city that we will once be. I hope you guys are understanding what I'm trying to say. Can I get a good amen if you understand? So this heavenly city that Jesus is talking about, that God is referencing to, because we live in a city that's filled with sin, our role as Christ followers is we're supposed to redeem the city, to be the light and the salt in the city, so that even though it will never be perfect like this eternal city, we're trying to do the best that we can and do the most good that we can, so that when anyone in the city sees the city, they will long for this eternal city. Are you with me? That's why we have to be committed to the city. That's why we have to redeem it. We have to rebuild it. We have to strengthen it. We have to love it. We have to shine the light upon it. We have to be salt upon the city that God has called us to. Many of you know this passage in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 5 through 7. Listen to what it says in the NIV. And this is just to give you a little bit of background. This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking to the people of Israel who were exiled into Babylon because they were disobedient to God. And many of these people were longing for their hometown, for their city, which is Jerusalem. But God says something very interesting to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to what he says. He says this, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Do you know what God was saying to his people who were longing to go back home? Because the place that they wanted to be was Jerusalem. That was the city of God. But God says, no, you were exiled for a purpose. And if you know your scripture, even in the book of Isaiah, you notice that they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. They were supposed to be a light to the world, to the nations. And they were supposed to do that by living their lives that were consecrated to God, separate from the world. So when people see them, the light of God will shine. And they will say, who is this God that you worship? But they disobeyed. They lived in sin. And so their witness was hindered. So now they were scattered all over the world. And what God tells these people is, don't come back. He says, build houses. Build your homes right there in Babylon. He says, get married and have kids and let your kids get married and be in that city. And then he says to pray for the prosperity or the blessing or the shalom or the peace or the goodness of that city, because if that city prospers, then you will prosper as well. What an incredible thought. Let me just kind of have you just think about that right now as we kind of check our own hearts. Whether you like Hong Kong or not, as I shared earlier, you are here. That is an undeniable fact. If you're within my range of hearing my voice, you are in Hong Kong. Some of you might be in an altered reality because you're sleeping. But you are in Hong Kong, whether you like it or not. Whether you like Hong Kong or not. And there's a very good possibility you are going to be in Hong Kong and you will leave in Hong Kong and you're going to look back and you realize what happened in Hong Kong. Because as I shared many times before, you did not get into the other university because God had a plan for you here. Some of you apply a second time and you're still not getting in. Third time, you're still not getting in. Now you are a third year and you're thinking that you're going to try one more time. That's kind of what we call idiotic. Somewhere along the line, you got to accept the fact that God called you here for a purpose. Some of you, you have a job here. It might not be what you're called to do or what you really want to do, but you're here. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your heart is not set on being rooted in the place that God has placed you, and your heart is wandering to all these other places and other opportunities, listen, your time here is going to pass by really quickly, and you're going to look back and say, what just happened? That doesn't mean all of you are going to stay. I understand that. Some of you will move to other cities, which is great. That's part of our greater vision, to plant churches all over the world. But what I'm talking about is while you are here, are you planted? Are you growing? Are you investing? Are you touching lives? Are you making a difference in your workplace? Are you reaching out to some of your fellow classmates and sharing the gospel? Are you making your school or your neighborhood or even your workplace a better place than before you came in? Do you have an impossible boss? I pray that because you're there, that place is that much better. And when you have to leave, everyone is crying because they don't want you to leave because you made that place better. Some of you are like, ah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. That's why you don't make a difference where you are. I always tell people, make sure that when you leave a place, you make it better than you actually when you came in. That's how you know you made a difference. When people are really sad to see you go, when people are happy to see you go, we have a problem. But when people are sad that you're going and they feel like they're losing something, you made a difference. If they're like, okay, see you later. Oh, thank God. She's gone from the office. Oh my God, he was like the worst. That's why I was thinking about our church in Ann Arbor. They celebrated their 20 years this past October. And I was thinking about this, and I just realized the reason why in a small little city called Ann Arbor that God built this mighty church. I mean, definitely it is the largest churches in all of our HMCC churches. But number sometimes is not a good indicator of how healthy a church might be. But I believe that he built a mighty church because it's not the building, it's not the programs, it's not the things of structure, it's because of the people. And I shared this many times before, and I'll keep on sharing it until we can have testimonies similar to this. To go to the University of Michigan when you are out of state, it costs close to $50,000 USD. That's almost your full tuition for 4 years here in Hong Kong. 1 year, it's almost 50-some thousand dollars USD. I don't want to even think about how much it is in rupias or ringgits, because that's a lot of zeros after that. Many juta. So you times that by four because they're there for 4 years. That's $200,000 USD. You could buy a Ferrari and a Lamborghini with that money. I'm just saying. Some of you guys don't register, so you could buy 200,000 Filet-O-Fish. Now you're like, wow, that's a lot. And then as they're graduating, they're looking for jobs. And they can get any job. The University of Michigan is one of the best schools. It's the number one public school in the whole world, at least in the United States. They can get jobs anywhere, especially in the big cities, New York, LA, Chicago, Dallas, Houston. You name any big cities in the United States, you can get jobs. But something happened in those 4 years while they were there. Their life was flipped upside down because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So instead of kind of bolting and going and trying to build up their career, which there's nothing wrong with that, some of them felt called to stay in Ann Arbor, which only has about 120,000 people. And I keep on sharing that some of these apartment complexes are like 80,000 people. I always look at that and go, you are 75% of Ann Arbor, and this is a great mission field, just in this one apartment complex with like six towers. 50-some floors, minus all the fours, because it's bad luck. And you know what they will do? They will only try to find jobs in Ann Arbor. Once again, Ann Arbor is a very small city. And depending on what major, it's very difficult to find a job. And you know what some of these guys did? They ended up working at Starbucks. Boy, if I could tell you all the phone calls I got from parents. If I can tell you all the conversations about people thinking that they were in a cult. Why would anybody? Sorry, I'm just getting excited here. I was trying to contain myself, but now I'm getting excited. Why would anybody in their logical mind spending $200,000 USD. Work at Starbucks when they can get jobs anywhere around the world. And when you sit down with some of these guys and listen to their story, it is almost 100% they will always tie it back to some experience or they came to know Christ. Or God flipped their life around. God set them free of whatever it might have been in their lives that put them in bondage. And what they have expressed is this: Pastor, I just feel like God leading me to reinvest into this ministry that transformed my life. That's why the world will hear this and it doesn't make sense. The only conclusion is you're in a cult. The only conclusion is you're stupid. The only conclusion is I'm going to disown you because I spent all this money on you, my son, my daughter. So this is my challenge as we talk about not only send me to my city, but tying in it with being alive as a follower of Jesus Christ. What is it that you value? Because if you value the kingdom, then that decision, if God calls you, he's not going to call everybody to do this. But if he calls you, then you realize that there is no sacrifice too great. There is nothing worth surrendering that I would hold and not give myself to the things that I value, which is God's kingdom. Some of you, he will call you elsewhere. And we empower you. In fact, we want to talk with you so that you might be, even in the future, the kind of the backbone of possibly some church planting in the future in that particular city, if it is a city that God is calling us to plant. So not everyone will stay in Hong Kong. Remember what I said? Some of you, I want to bless you to go. But some of you, I'm going to cry when you leave. Some of you, I'm like, Jesus, bless them. Go quickly. Don't delay. Do not delay. You got to obey God. Go quickly. Can I just ask us, if God is the creator and the constructor of this heavenly city, and now we are in this city here, and we're supposed to bring and shine the light and be the salt in this city so that we can redeem it and make it look like possibly the city that we're longing, even though it will never be perfectly like this heavenly city. But we want to do all the good. We want to pray for the peace, the shalom of the city. We want to pray and that it will do well, that it will prosper, because when the city prospers, we prosper. That's what I've been praying for our church here in Hong Kong. I'm praying that ever since we planted this church back in 2015, and hopefully as we look maybe 10, 20 years later, as we look back to 2015, I pray that we can say with 100% confidence that Hong Kong, the city of Hong Kong, is so much better than what it was in 2015. I pray that we can say that. Because more lives have been transformed. More things have been done. More people have come to know Jesus Christ. I pray that we can say, however long it's going to be, that we could always look back and say, Hong Kong has been better because this church was planted. And there will be many other churches that will be planted here in Hong Kong. And I pray that we can see the city being transformed for the glory of God. How about us? What are some areas of our city that we need to seek the peace and the prosperity for? Do we have a vision for God's spiritual city, which will motivate us to see Hong Kong redeemed, to make it more like what the city is going to be like? That's why I'm going to tell you right now, this is why I'm committed and even passionate to the point where I might even have some one-on-one conversations with some of you to have an international church. We are not a local Hong Kong church. We are not an English church, or I guess American church, even though some of you are like, well, you guys speak English and we're, you know, just, you guys look Western. And we're definitely not a Korean church, thank God. Those of you Korean, I love you. That's why we keep on emphasizing transculturalism. That's why when a bunch of Americans are talking, we're talking all the slang, and here's a person from mainland Chinese guy who's just standing there, not really knowing what to do. I'm going to purposely look and see this person who's by themselves and realize that they don't really know English very well. I'm going to somehow try to either go to him or I'm going to drag him into a conversation, give that look to everyone who's in that circle. You know that look? I'm going to kill you. No, I mean, you know that look where you just kind of give them the look? That ministry look? Like... Yes, that look. And so that everyone's like, oh, and everyone talks a little bit slower. And we stop using SAT words and ACT words. And even though your English now is more broken than ever before, you will continue to use broken English. And even though they're from mainland China and they don't know how to distinguish him or her, but you will understand that they're talking about her. I don't know if you've been there, but you're talking to some of these mainland Chinese people, and they're talking about him. You think it's the guy, it's the guy. And then later on, you realize it was the girl. Like, oh my God. Because they just get the pronoun all mixed up. But I'm willing to be patient because I'm trying to be transcultural. And some of us who are local, not the crazy in Spanish local, sometimes you are, but the local who are from Hong Kong. I'm just going to challenge you. I don't know all the life groups. I don't know all of you. Some of you don't want me to know you. You're happy that I see you or you see me and I don't even know who you are and we pass by like strangers in the night. You like that. Because if I do know you, then you might be like, oh my God, why is he looking at me? Then maybe just once, because this is your culture, this is your city. It feels so comfortable to be a local Hong Kong, which, listen, don't misunderstand me. Yes, we are the quote-unquote outsiders. We have come into your city. So we should be learning Cantonese. We should be learning the culture. We should be eating dim sum every single day. I'm just kidding. But it was a little side joke, but I guess now people are awake. Okay, praise God, you're awake now. But if I'm in a room and there's a couple people who do not speak Cantonese, and here you are going crazy. You're going really crazy. Some of us have no clue or no awareness to even realize that there are two people there or one person who don't speak Cantonese. They might even be new to the church. There's something inside of you doesn't click to say, you know what, guys, let's speak English. Remember the ministry look? I wish we all had a light. Just hot pink, bing. Ministry time. That's why you can't turn off and on ministry, 24/7 ministry. To be able to look and say, you know what? Let's stop speaking Cantonese and let's try to talk to this person, or either you go to them or you invite them into your conversation and change your language. Because even if they want to try to be with, just the language barrier itself is difficult. That's why what we're saying is English, not because it's the best language, because there are some words that it's like crazy. You don't even know which one to use. I understand that. But that is right now the more universal language around the world. I'm not saying it might be taken over by Mandarin. You never know. Especially when walls are built. Push people out. Listen. I'm sharing these different scenarios because I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in them. I've watched some of us. I watched some of these people who are new to our church, and it breaks my heart. That's why we're trying to be transcultural. That's why we're having an international church. That's why we want nations to come into our church. We want people from all nations. It doesn't matter what nation it is, that they will feel comfortable enough, because the language we speak is the language of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the love of Christ. It just takes a little less self-centeredness and a little less thinking about yourself and how much fun you can have, and try to look out and say, how can we minister to people? Let me just quickly close with the second point, and simply this, that we must reach our city. Not only must we redeem it, but we must reach it. You know, St. Augustine wrote in his book, I don't know how many of you read it or read excerpts of The City of God. It's a really interesting book because it's broken up into different chapters. And what he does is he tries to describe the difference between the city of the world and the city of God, which is the kingdom of God. And Augustine argues that both of these societies are visible and seek to do good. But for the believers, it is the city of God that we long for. And it's clear that there is this war between these two cities, the city of the world and the city of God. So the city of the world, which is filled with sin, is trying to bring down the city of God. You know, we clearly see this distinction in the story of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11? The people in the city were trying to make a name for themselves rather than exalting the name of God. Listen, Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, listen to what it says. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves, everyone say it, a city. And tower with its tops to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. This is literally the very opposite of what God desired. Because there's only one name to be exalted, and they were supposed to be fruitful and multiply and go out to the nations. Listen to what the Message translation of that verse says. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches heaven. Let us make ourselves what? Famous. So that we won't be scattered here and there across the earth. This is the tension that we feel. Listen to me carefully. God wanted to build a city to make himself famous. Because he alone deserves all the praise. But the people wanted to build a city and a tower to make themselves famous. So they wanted to use the resources of the city that God has blessed them with to exalt themselves rather than using the resources that God has given them to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Does that make sense? They did the very opposite of what God wanted them to do. That's why what God did in Genesis chapter 11, he confused their language, because he said, if they're able to build this with speaking the same language, then there's no end to what they can do. So he confused all the languages, and that's when people were scattered out and they had different languages. Just think about the city and all the power, all the wealth, and all the art, the culture, the technology. Think about it. If you're using these things to make a name for yourself and make yourself famous, this is where a lot of times you will get people who are very cutthroat. I don't know if you heard of that phrase, where they will do anything possible to get ahead. I've talked to some of you and you've shared how there's so much office politics. That when someone does well, no one is rejoicing. They're angry. They're jealous. We even see that in the church. That's why James constantly talks about there should be no favoritism. Because not only those who are favored, they feel like they're more important than anyone else, but those who don't feel that, they feel jealous towards that person, and they're going to try to tear them down. That's why you see so much strife in the church. This is human nature. Think about all the power, all the wealth, all the culture, all the art, all the technology. It was supposed to be used and harnessed so that the name of Jesus can be exalted. Look at some of these pictures. I don't know how many of you have seen this. Do you know what this is? This is the Shanghai Tower that they recently finished. It's about 632 meters high. It's the second tallest building in the whole world. Any of you who live in Shanghai, you just want to bless the pastor's family so we can stay on the top, you let me know. All right? This next building, Khalifa, you guys all know this. It's in Dubai. It is the tallest with it's almost 830 meters high. I mean, just think about the massive size. I love buildings. I love architecture. And I'm thinking about some of these things, and you just realize how it really is a testament to mankind. So we use all these things to exalt ourselves, towers and buildings. You don't have to go far. I don't know what it is about Hong Kong, or maybe it's Asia. Every single building in every single university is named after somebody. Somebody. And probably half of them are not living anymore. Because they got all this money, you can't take it with you when you die, so you might as well engrave your name somewhere until someone gives even more, and then they have to take out the name. Who knows? Maybe it's in a contract. Look at this. I remember when I first came to Hong Kong, man, I just fell in love. I just sit there on the harbor and be like, wow, I love this city. And then I would go to the Peak a couple times, and I'm like, wow, this is an incredible city. See, we do things to exalt ourselves rather than do things for the building of the kingdom. Let me just kind of quickly try to bring this to a close. We glorify ourselves rather than glorifying God. That's why the display of pride, injustice, wickedness is what we see in all cities. That's where there's human trafficking. That's where there's cheating and there's corruption in these corporations. That's why all these different sins are magnified in the cities. Because that's human nature of trying to make a name for themselves. And this is our harvest field in this context to reach a city that is broken and lost and without the hope of Jesus Christ. And how in the world are we going to be able to reach it? It has to be with people who understand their calling. That maybe for some of us, if God is challenging us to be planted and rooted, to say, I want to see the welfare and the prosperity of this city, because if this city prospers, then I prosper, our church prospers. So the question is this, how are we going to reach our city? If God wants us to redeem it by us living the life that he has called us to live, how do we then reach the city? Let me give us several things. First of all, serve the community. This is how you win favor with people. Serve the community. And I want to just encourage us, just some of us in this room, you are more aware of what's going on in Hong Kong than me or some of the leaders in our church. I want to encourage you to speak up and share that with us, because I don't have all the information. Some of you know certain things about the city that no one else in this room knows about. Share those things. Because when you learn how to serve the community, it opens up people's hearts and they become more favorable. That's why I love it when churches, they don't have to necessarily start up a new organization, but I love it that when they could partner with other organizations that are not even Christian organizations, they're just flat out just secular organizations. And you can partner with them and you serve them, you love them. And by doing that, it just opens up a door of dialogue and relationships and to be able to then share Christ somewhere along the line. I was just thinking about this. I go, how awesome would it be if some of us, we did a better job. And even for our church, we did a better job of serving the community that we're in. There's about 14 districts in all over Hong Kong, and every single one of them are so different. The 7.3 million people here in Hong Kong, we're talking about you go to one district in Hong Kong, completely different from some of the new territory area. Some of you already know our story. I was telling my wife and my kids, Hong Kong is so awesome. You can speak English and get by, because I kept on coming to the central area, the Soho area and central and that whole area. I'm like, I love Hong Kong. You don't even have to speak Chinese or anything, Cantonese. You can get by with Hong Kong. And where do we live? We live in new territories. And my wife and my kids are like, yeah, sure, Dad. You know? I'm like, yeah, I didn't expect this either. Serve the community. Find different ways. Number two, start new ventures. As I mentioned before, listen to me carefully. Let me first phrase it, and then I'll explain it. Sometimes it is easier and faster to create a new culture than to be in a culture and try to change it. Let me explain. Sometimes in a workplace, when a culture is not good, for you to go in there and try to be the salt and light and try to change that culture, it will take a long time, and sometimes it is very hard, especially if you don't have higher positions to make decisions. That's why when you start something, you get to actually build a culture right away. Does that make sense? This is how we're going to do it. Everyone works from 9 to 5. Yes, 9 to 5. And everything else, you spend time with your family and with other people and build up the city. And I'm sharing this because, as I've shared many times before, I want to believe that some of you in this room, God will call you to start new ventures, new businesses, and new schools or new organizations that will build a culture that reflects biblical principles so that people will be like, what kind of work do you do? Where is this company? Do you know why everyone loves, they want to work at Google? Do you know why everyone wants to work at Facebook? They have a certain culture, and that's like the ideal job. And I'm thinking, what if some of these companies at that level are those who are led by people who love Jesus Christ? Can you imagine people wanting to work at this particular company that you started? Because you have set a culture that reflects Christ. Yes, it's going to take money. Yes, it's going to take faith. Yes, it's going to take a risk. But I'm praying that God will challenge some of us. Now, some of you are like, Pastor is calling all of us to start something new. I quit tomorrow. I'm done. Please don't do that. Because some of you are called to be in an already existing organization and to bring change in your way for His glory. Maybe in that one little department. Maybe not the whole company, but that department, because there are people there who need Jesus Christ. So you got to know your calling. Some God will call you to start new ventures. I love what Andy Crouch said in his book, Culture Making. He says this, the only way to change culture is to create more of it. Cultural change will only happen when something new displaces or to some extent existing culture in very tangible way, in a very tangible way. Sometimes the best way is to start it. Third, is sense the need and meet it. It's kind of similar to the first point of serving the community. But this city, there are needs that we might not fully know. That's why we have to be able to be in prayer. God, what is it that you want us to engage in? And I pray that in our church, there will be many missional initiatives that will get started. And lastly, set up a multi-site church mindset or mentality. Multi-site churches. Let me show you a map, which many of you have seen before, but I'm very serious about how we want to try to move forward. If you look at this map that we shared before, and the reason why this is significant, thank you. The reason why this is very significant is because we want to reach Hong Kong. In order for us to reach Hong Kong, we have to stick with our vision, which is to multiply churches in campuses and in cities to transform the next generation among the nation. That's our vision. That's why right now we have started our life group in CUHK. And we have started one here in PolyU. In fact, those of you who don't know our full story, we weren't going to even go to PolyU. Sorry, those of you who go to PolyU. You might not have known Christ yet. Anyway, we were targeting CUHK. So we had Michigan alumni who were going to go to graduate school in CUHK. That's why we said, let's target this place, because we already have Michigan people who are coming back to Hong Kong. And so we're going to at least start there. The next university we were going to start was HKU, just because of the influence and the type of university that we, and the people that it would draw, we wanted to target this university. And also it was in the island. And we said we got to plant churches or start life groups in some of these key cities and these key campuses. And so that was our original plan, CUHK, HKU. But the way God led us, just because of sovereignty and trusting and trying to listen, we started at CUHK and PolyU. And then, for whatever reason, God told us to go east. You know, the phrase is more like go west, young man. But we went east. Maybe it was the beach, maybe it was whatever, but we might have been smoking something, but I don't know what it was. But some of you might not know this, hopefully all of you know this, but we've actually started a life group at HKUST. And I'm going to say this to you. I would say when I went to PolyU, I saw mostly Chinese people, local Chinese from Hong Kong or from mainland. I go to CUHK, I see some white people, some, not too much, but some, because it's Chinese university, right? But every single time I visit HKU, or when I'm in this area, or when I go to HKUST, I tell some of the HKUST guys, I go, I am amazed of how many people who are non-Asians go to these schools. Now, some of you might think that HKUST has all the Indonesians there, but that's just it's a perception. It's a perception. There's a lot, but it's a perception. But there are a lot of international students here and a lot of international students here. So right now, we are having life groups, two life groups here, CUHK, two life groups at PolyU, and we have one right here at HKUST. I'm praying that somehow God will lead us to HKU. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm praying that God will lead us there. Now, some of you are like, hey, how about that biblical school, Baptist U? How about City U? We want to reach out to those universities as well. But I'm going to say this. We are limited by the number of leaders and people who are willing to lay down their life. It's not a complaint, but I will share this. I'm just only one person. And maybe more of just prayer is that I attend three life groups per week. And it's taking a toll. And I know that I can't keep on doing this for too long. I know that some of these guys who came with us from Michigan to start this church, they're working full time. They're leading life group. They cannot lead another life group. So either we cap our church and say after we hit a certain number, we stop. Or the only other option is, well, I guess there's three options. Either we cap our numbers and anyone who walks in will like, no, we hit our number. Get back. Don't come. That's one option. Another option is we have life groups that are 40 members big, 50. Or the third option, which I'm praying for, which is more biblical in my mindset, is we have more leaders raised up. That means I'm challenging you, some of you, to be planted and rooted, to lay down your life, and not to give to a church the name HMCC, but you're willing to say, God, if this is where you're calling me, for the welfare of the city, then even if that means I cannot have that dream job, even if that means that I'm going to take a couple years off and not go to that grad school that I might want to say that, God, I want to reinvest in the things that people have invested in me, and I want to see this church grow because we're going to be able to reach more people with the gospel message. And the reason why, listen to me carefully, I'm sharing this again, and I'll keep on sharing this because this is part of our vision, because I will love to see one day HMCC Hong Kong will have multiple locations near these universities. Because right here in this whole area of new territories, we're talking about that church might have to look a little different. And the church over here, they will have a lot of baptism on the beach. And it might look a little different. The church over here is going to look totally different. And the church here, well, welcome. Of course, it's not going to be, when I say it's going to be different, we're going to still have the same DNA. But certain things might have to look different because we're trying to reach the whole city. And I'm praying that God will enable us to do that. I love what Eric Swanson said in his book, To Transform a City. Transformation can only happen when the whole church, everyone say whole church, takes the whole gospel to the whole church. Or the whole city, sorry. So the whole church takes the whole gospel to the whole city. So once again, the one thing is we must transform our city in order to transform the world. Can I ask us to really commit to a couple things as we leave here? First of all, I want to challenge us to pray for the city. Make it a priority. Man, I do that all the time, and it's not something that, because I'm spiritual, but it's a reminder for me. Every time I'm going into the city or I'm in Hong Kong, I'm praying for this place. Even if I'm even remotely near HKU, I'm praying for it. Some of you are like, please don't pray for a pastor. That means it's going to be more work and more stuff. And I want to just believe if it's God, he's going to raise up more people. And we've talked about how by the end of this year, in 2017, end of this one school cycle, and we start in September 2017, we will double in the number of life groups because there's still so many more people we want to reach. I would hate to see life groups 50 members strong. That would be too much. That's like our own church. I want to see life groups that are smaller but yet have qualified leaders who can lead people because you cannot lead people where you haven't gone. Pray for the city. Secondly, plant yourself in the city. Man, I hope your words are the same as what Robert Pierce said. He says, may the Spirit of God help us to give of yourself as recklessly for the cause of Christ throughout the world, why a whole world, as God recklessly gave his son, Jesus Christ. I pray that what we give of ourselves to will be a reflection of what we understand about the gospel. Jesus gave all of himself. May we hold nothing back as we serve and live for him. And then play a role in reaching the city. Do something. Serve the community. Start up some missional initiatives. Start doing some prayer walking. Maybe some of you who are LCGs, you can say, hey, let's pray for this area. Maybe go on HKU campus and start praying for it. Maybe you can go to your campus you're in and start praying for this campus and say, God, we want to see more people come to know Jesus Christ. We want to see more people getting involved in life group. Not because we want to build a big church, but we want to reach as many people. There's 7.3 million people. If anyone tells me we don't need any more churches, I'm going to look at them and bless them with the name of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know what else I'm going to say. If some church comes on PolyU campus, I'm going to say, praise God, how can we help you? How can we serve you? Because there's 30,000 students that we need to reach out to, and we're just reaching out to a handful. 7.3 million people in this city. No one church can reach out to everybody. That's why we need more churches to get started so more people can come to know Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we close. There's a video I wanted to show, but because of time, I'm going to just forward that video to your leaders, and if they want to show it, they can show it. It's these church planners who actually wrote kind of like love letters to the city. And it was just a great reminder that you got to love the city that God has placed you in. Because it's not the city. It's not, trust me, no one loves the traffic. No one loves the small spaces. No one loves all the different issues of a city. No one does. If you do, you're just sadistic. But we love the city because of the people. And if you cannot love a city, that means you do not love God's people. That you don't love the poor. You don't love the disenfranchised. You don't love the wealthy business guys who are sitting on top of that building thinking that they can conquer the world when they're so empty inside. You hate the city because of the things that might be a discomfort for you, or things are not going the way you want it to. But if you pray for the heart of God, those things you could put aside, count the cost, Because now you're not looking at the space, the traffic, the long working hours, the people. Now, people in terms of their personalities and all the other issues, now you're looking at them with God's eyes. That's what we want. God, give us your heart. This is my city. This is our city. How can we love it? How can we serve it? How can we prosper it? Father, we pray for the shalom, the peace for this city. And we seek the prosperity, the welfare of the city, because when this city prospers, we prosper. God, I'm praying right now, in order for us to reach the 7.3 million, to reach all these universities, God, it has to start with us. I pray that you will break us. Lord, break our hearts with the things that break your heart. I pray that even as we go to our mission field this coming week, that we will not look at things the same way that we see them. I pray that this week, Lord God, that you will just somehow open our eyes to something about the city that we haven't seen before. Bring a revelation, Lord God, that we haven't even received yet. But God, we are eagerly expecting and waiting, and so that this coming week, that we can see some aspect of this city that you love so very much. That your eyes will become our eyes. That your heart will become our hearts. That your hands will become our hands, and we will serve. I pray, Lord, that we will be able to love this city, see transformation of the city, and as we reach Hong Kong, then we're going to be able to reach other cities around the world. I pray that this will be the center of all the work that will begin here in this side of Asia. Father, I pray that you will give us the privilege, that you will give us the honor to be able to do that. And Lord, help us to first start with investing in prayer. So start that this week for your glory, for your name's sake. I'm just going to ask us as we close, let's just pray for the city. Whatever God places in your heart, it might be a specific people group, it might be some people at work once again, or maybe the school, but let's just pray for Hong Kong. Let's just bless Hong Kong. All the people from all over the world, all the local people who are here, let's just pray for a prayer of blessing over them and asking God to pour out His grace, pour out His mercy, pour out His love, and that God will make this city, the earthly city, a little bit more like the spiritual city that we're longing for. So that people will say, surely the Lord God, He is the God of this city. Come on, let's just lift up some prayers right now. Let's pray.